Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalm 119, verse 105 here, the Lord reminds you and me that we are on a sojourn through life, through perilous territory. We know that that path has been determined by God. God has begun the sojourn through life according to His foreknowledge. According to that same foreknowledge of God, all the circumstances of your life, all the events of your life, from the very important events to even the mundane events, which we never remember much of, all of them are determined and governed and brought to pass by God. There's nothing upon your pathway God does not know. There's nothing in your pathway that surprises Him. It may surprise you, but it is no surprise to God. He has known you from eternity in Christ, and He knows what kind of a sojourn you will need so that you are prepared for your place in His house of many mansions. And now while you are on that sojourn now to your heavenly home, our Father, who is the Father of all mercy in Jesus Christ, gives to you something to help you and to guide you on the way home. He gives to you a lamp which shines with bright light. This lamp God does not give to everyone. There are many today in the population of the world, which is estimated now to be about 7 billion people. Many of them do not have this lamp. God did not give it to them. God has left them in their darkness. And that's even evident by those who do not have this lamp, that they don't care that they have not been given this lamp from God. They do not mind the darkness in which they have been left and in which they shall perish. Very happy to live in sin, to continue in all unrighteousness and ungodliness in a life apart from the true God revealed in Jesus Christ. In fact, for many of them, the lamp which God gives to us is an offense to them because it exposes their darkness with which they're content and which they enjoy. God has given this lamp to His church, to His people, specifically to you as well. That lamp God has put in you, so that with the lamp it shines with bright light to guide you, to show you, and to lead you in the way as you sojourn in life, in the life of proper obedience and faithfulness to your Father. Isn't that important, especially as we leave the Lord's table, that God gives you now, God has given you the lamp to guide you, to point you in the life of thanksgiving for what God has given to us in Christ, who descended into hell for us, that we might have the blessings of God and everlasting life. God has given to you the lamp and the light of the Bible, which means this truth of Psalm 119, verse 105, ought to be the confession of believers and their children. We ought to be rejoicing with the church of all ages who have also read this verse. and rejoice to be counted among those who can say this, not just in the head, but from the heart, that thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path through life. That's the confession, of course, which we in our catechism classes with the children, as parents, in our covenant instruction of our children through the week, this is the confession we want you children and young people to have. When you grow up, stand with us to say, together with the church of all ages, thy word, the word of the Lord, is my lamp and my light also. That's the goal of catechism. Teaching the young people the doctrines of the Reformed faith. Because in the Reformed faith, in that truth, that's the truth in which the church goes into the scriptures and mines from the scriptures the doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Reformed faith, we have the faithful confession that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's a blessed privilege to be able to say that, beloved, before the church, before the world, before the wicked, before the angels in heaven. Thy word is a lamp and a light. The amazing thing, beloved, is the Bible isn't just one candle that we need to pass around. You get the candle for 5 minutes, and then it's my turn, and then I must pass it on to someone else. There's only one light to go around, and we all need to take turns. No, that Word of God is a light to all of us at the same time, simultaneously. It's the same Word which you have and I have. Same light, same lamp. But for all of God's people at the same time, for the same purpose, for that light of thanksgiving to God. That's the amazing gift of God, a powerful, blessed light which He has given to you and to me, which we may cherish all the days of our life as our lamp and our light from God. Let's consider and meditate upon that truth of the Bible under the theme, Our Lamp and Light. First of all, notice the meaning. And secondly, also notice the important truth of how can this be possible for you and me? How can the Bible be a lamp and a light for us? And then finally, we'll notice the benefits that we have with the Bible as a lamp and light to our feet and our path. The psalmist says at the beginning of the text, Thy word is a lamp and a light. That's the Bible. And according to Psalm 119, many words are used to refer to the Bible. Sometimes the word law is used, sometimes precepts, commandments, statutes, ordinances, judgments. All of those words together refer to the scriptures, which in the Old Testament was often called the law, and then also the prophets. And in addition to that, the Psalms, the poetry books of the Old Testament. In the days of David, he had all of the Old Testament scriptures up unto the Bible as it had been completed to that time, which would have included most of the Psalms, the books of Moses, the first five books, and a few other books, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, although those books have not been finished yet either. But that's the word to which David is referring. All the things written down on paper up to that time of the scriptures, regarded by the people of God as the word of God. He says, Thy word Even though we know Moses was used to write these books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Even though I wrote down Psalm 23, David says, nevertheless, this is thy word, not mine. Thy word. The origin of this Psalm 119, the origin of Psalm 23, which David was used to write down, is not me. It is thee, David confesses. God is the author of what I'm writing down here in Psalm 119. And that means we take the same perspective today with the Bible. This is thy word, O God. Yes, many writers, over 40 of them, were used to write down many things in the Bible. Nevertheless, they were only instruments in the hand of God, so that in the end, this Bible, these 66 books in the Bible, are the Word of God alone. Which means, when he says, thy Word, the content of the Bible is God. Which is an important truth. We'll see in a minute why that's important to bring this up. But the content is God. Sure, there is much historical information in the Bible. There are many names. There are many people. There are lots of numbers in the Bible. Many different things happen in the Bible. Yet when we look at all of the scriptures and we put all of the names, all of the information together, it's the Word from God about God. Its main theme is, I am Jehovah. That is my name. And that's what's revealed in the Bible. God shows His power. God shows His wisdom. God shows His grace. God shows His holiness and His righteousness in the events and historical situations in the Bible. God shows He's a consuming fire against the sinner. There's the great flood which destroys the world. God is also the God who burns in a love and is consumed with a love for His people. And there's Noah and his family and the rainbow in the sky showing God's covenant, tender mercies and love. He reveals Himself and His name through the prophets, through the types and shadows, through Israel, through the tabernacle, then through the temple, through the sacrifices on the altar of burnt offering. And then later in the New Testament, reveals all of His name in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and shadows and promises. Through Jesus Christ, God reveals His Word. He reveals His glory. He reveals the light of the gospel, that He is our Savior through Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our King through Jesus Christ, our Mediator. Thus, when we see Christ in the Bible, we see the glory of God. We see God Himself. Remember what Moses said on Mount Sinai? He said, show me thy glory. Really, that's the confession and request of the whole church. The church says, show me thy glory. Show that thou art our Savior, because we cannot save ourselves from our sin. And God says, here is my glory. And then what God says there in Exodus 34, that's really a summary of all of the Scripture as revealed in Jesus Christ. That's the content of the Bible. And to have the Bible then with that content, the Bible then must be inspired by God. To be absolutely reliable that what God says in answer to the request of God's people, show me thy glory, and there it is in the Scriptures, and then to have an exact revelation of God's name, that means God must have inspired this Bible. God is the author through inspiration. The Bible teaches He did. He breathed forth His word through men which He guided, so that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what we have today in the Bible. 100% fully the inspired Word of God. All the glory of the light of Jehovah revealed in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is here in Scripture. And because God did that, you can be sure there are no mistakes, no flaws in the Bible. We do not need to approach the Bible with skepticism. Is this really true about God? Is this really what happened in the beginning? Is this really what happened at the Red Sea? The answer to that is, of course it is. Because God is telling us who He is and what kind of God He is. And God would never lie concerning Himself, so that whatever you read in the Bible is exactly true. It's infallible. It always is. And that's necessary so that the Bible can function as a perfect lamp and shine gloriously with true light, with no mistakes in it. The idea that the Bible is a lamp and a light is this is not the only place in the Bible where the Scriptures refer to the Bible that way. It's referred to the Bible this way also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Just before the two verses which also teach inspiration of Scripture. The Apostle Peter writes, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." He's referring to the Bible. "Whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The Bible there is compared to a light, a lamp that shines with a bright light in the darkness of sin and death, a light for the elect, which shines unto their salvation, a light for the unrighteous, which shines unto their condemnation and their destruction, but for us, a light of the truth of the gospel for our salvation. God has given to us that lamp and light of His Word. He is the light of the Word. That's why the Bible can be a lamp and a light. God is not the God of all light. For as we learn in 1 John chapter 1, He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If God is not light, then the Bible cannot be this. David would be lying. But because God is light, this is His Word, He's revealed in here. Ultimately, that's why the Bible, for us, is a lamp that shines with the light of God in Jesus Christ. And since it's the light of Christ, of God in Jesus Christ, this light cannot be extinguished. Your children may have a flashlight. One night you think, well, I'm going to use my flashlight tonight. You turn it on, or you turn the switch, but there goes the light in front of you, and soon the beam of light becomes very weak. As you're going through that dark room with your flashlight, the light goes out, and you stumble into the bed or the door you were trying to miss. You think that will ever happen to the Bible? Halfway through our life, in this night of darkness and sin that suddenly the light will go out because the batteries don't work anymore in the Bible? No, of course not. God is the light of the Word, and that light will never run out. The devil may blow as hard as he can, but he cannot blow out the flame of God's Word. It puts forth a light which cannot be conquered. It cannot be extinguished. Some men try to cover it up, but do so unto their destruction. It pierces, it's powerful, it saves by the work of the Spirit. So therefore it's completely reliable. It's reliable because ultimately trusting in the Bible is trusting in God Himself. Trusting in God's Word is trusting in His name, which is Jehovah, which is the rock of our salvation. And trusting in that rock, you will never, never be disappointed in life. Never. So reliable is the Bible that it will never, that beam of light which shines from the Word of God, it will never lead you astray. It will never lead you into disobedience or say, go this way, into sin. Never do that. The Word of God is infallible. It has no mistakes. And we may be sure it will never lead us into sin. It leads us in the way of thanksgiving, always, on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ, in a way of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the lamp which God has given you in this life. It's something that you need. It's something that I need for my daily life and your daily life. We need lights in our houses, in our buildings. If we didn't have the light on, we couldn't see, or we could hardly see. The sun goes down, it would be pitch black. We could not. We had this service at night, we couldn't see each other. We wouldn't know what's on the pages of the Bible. We couldn't sing from the Psalter. We need light to see, to know, to learn, to understand, to take care of ourselves. And so the Lord, in His mercy, has given to you and me an infallible lamp and light to provide for you continuous, clear light for your daily life through this world of darkness. And oh, how dark the darkness is as the day of Christ approaches. That light of God's Word exposes upon your sojourn in life, upon the pathway, exposes the traps of sin that the devil puts in the pathway. It exposes all the temptations of the world. Shows that the temptations of the devil seek to lure you away from the commandments of God, from life with God, and lead you eventually down the broad way which leads to destruction. The bright, clear, piercing light of God's Word exposes the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of temptation. Oh, how deceitful temptation can be. It makes sin look so good when, in reality, before the light of God's Word, sin can never be good. There are countless hazards that lay in the way as we sojourn as pilgrims and strangers through life. And the Bible shines out and shows us them. There they are. We need that. We also need that light to shine not just in front of us, but to have that light shine on us, shine on our hearts, to expose our own sin, to show how sinful we are, show how much we deserve to be destroyed. Then that light shine us, to have us to point and to shine to us and to show before us the glories of Christ. Why do we need the Bible to do that? To point out our sin and Christ as our only salvation? So that we learn that the way to sojourn in life is not by faith to trust in ourselves, but to trust in Christ, His strength, and in His Word for a successful passage through life to the life afterward, to walk successfully in that straight and narrow way which leads to everlasting life. God has given us His Word to do that. And oh, how merciful, how gracious that gift is, beloved. Not only did God inspire that Word, but do you realize for 3,500 years God has preserved this for you today? When Moses started to write down the Bible about 3,500 years ago, that long ago, God had you in mind today. Isn't that amazing? And from then already, God determined, I will have this Word and I will preserve this Word so that these my sheep, these my lambs, in this place and that place, but also in this place today, they may read this, that in the beginning I created the heavens and the earth. And though the devil has for 3,500 years tried to destroy the Scriptures, ruin them, hide them, bury them, have them annihilated, yet the Word of God is still here. The light still shines. It's amazing. That's God's gracious gift to you and me, having the lamp of God's Word. It's amazing. That's why we say with the psalmist, we rejoice, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Having that precious heritage, that lamp preserved for you that long, so that now you may have the privilege to have that lamp in your hands and in your heart, implies, beloved, that now you be loyal to the Bible. There are not many lights and lamps for the child of God in this life. All the other things that the world proposes to be a lamp and a light, they only shine with darkness. They're not true light. There's only one lamp and one light that shines with true light, faithful light, and that's the Word of God. You don't find truth in the world. You find truth in the Scriptures. Do you know then that Word of God for that truth? Do you know your Bibles? Do you read the Bible? Do you read God's 3,000, 3,500-year-old gift to you? Do you? Do you study it? Do you know the light which shines from the Word? Are you familiar with that light? Do you know the colors of that light? Do you know the glory of that light? Do you know how to use the light? Do you know how to use the Bible? You children would laugh at a friend to whom you would give a flashlight as a present, and your friend opens the present, they take out the flashlight, and then there's the front of the flashlight, and they turn it on and shine it in their face. You'd laugh at them. What are you doing? Don't you know how to use a flashlight? We'd chastise them for their ignorance of using the flashlight the wrong way, the light shining in their face instead of on the path in front of them. What a sad situation it would be if, having the Bible, we don't know where the switch is. We don't know which end the light comes out of. We don't know, as it were, our Bibles. May it never be true of us that we're not learning Scripture, learning what the light is, knowing God's name, knowing His wonderful works and His truth. We must study the Bible, study the Scriptures to know God's name, to know His truth, so that then we may enjoy the benefits of that Bible, the benefits of God's Word, and then be able to say with the psalmist, with all our heart, yes, Thy Word. And then we know what we're talking about when we say that. Thy Word, this Word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Keep in mind, beloved, that to be able to say that is a gift of grace. Not only is the Bible itself a gift, but to be able to confess that that Word is a lamp and a light for us, it implies that that's also grace too, because by nature we don't want that light. We don't have that light. That's implied by verse 107. A little later it says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Quicken me. What does that mean? Quicken means to raise from the dead. What the psalmist is teaching, if God does not raise the psalmist according to God's word, the psalmist will remain dead. And if he remains dead, he cannot live in that confession of God's word, nor perform what he has sworn. Essentially, obedience to God's word. By nature, you see, we would never want the Bible. We would never want the light of God's word to shine anywhere, especially on our path, or even on us, lest that light expose our sin, which by nature we don't want to give up. We love our sin. By nature, we hate the light. And that's taught in John chapter 1, verse 5. We learn that when the light himself came, the light of the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, we who were in darkness, we did not comprehend him. We didn't want him. In fact, verse 11 of John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Did not want him. That's a problem, isn't it? We struggle with that often. How often isn't Bible study way down in the list of priorities of other things which are more exciting, whatever they may be? That's a temptation to put other things before the study of God's Word, the reading of Scripture, the discussion of the Bible one with another, family devotions, for example. It's because by nature, we're not captivated with the Bible as we should be. That's our weakness. You see, by nature, or because of our sin, we wouldn't want the Bible as our lamp and light. And keep in mind that the Bible serves as a lamp and light for our salvation. That is humanly impossible. We don't deserve to have God's Word as that lamp and light for good. We deserve that that lamp and light of God's Word expose our sin unto our condemnation, so that then we deserve to be cast into the darkness of God's curse, where the light of God does not shine. And there in that darkness, experience misery. Really, we deserve the light and the lamp of God's Word to be like deadly radioactive radio waves to consume us and destroy us. That the Bible serves as a light for our good. That is not possible by our own power. That is only possible by the grace of God. That also is a miracle. The light, that same light which is revealed in God's Word, is the light which must sovereignly, irresistibly pierce into our dark and dead hearts and break open that death and place the light of Jesus Christ within us. So that having that light of Jesus Christ, we may desire the light of God's Word. It's that light which makes it possible. He died on the cross to earn for us the privilege to have the Bible as a lamp and a light to us. He was cast into the outer darkness of God's wrath so that you might have and you might bask in the light of your Heavenly Father. The light of His grace and mercy and love in Jesus Christ. And in the light so revealed in God's Word. And the lamp, that lamp and light, then by the Holy Spirit, isn't added to you as kind of a, well, there it is next to you, and you hold it like a flashlight in your hand. No, He takes this Word and He puts that lamp and light in your heart, right there. He writes God's Word there so that it's hid and no man can steal it from you. The devil can't take it from you. The day star arises in your heart, destroys the darkness of unbelief and sin, and begins to shine in His work and the gift of faith, of believing, of knowing the Scriptures, God's Word. That's when we can say, Thy Word, by faith, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Christ doesn't merely put the Bible in your hands, although He does, because He works salvation through our minds, through reading. But He writes it, as you read elsewhere in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, Hide Thy Word in my heart. That's where we need the lamp and the light of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit does that, that's why we can say with the psalmist, that's why you can say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you believe that, beloved? Is that true of you? So what you read in Psalm 119, verse 105, is that your confession to God, to Christ, Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you believe that? God, by His grace, gives us the faith to believe that. Then there are wonderful benefits, which we will mention briefly. On the one hand, having the Bible as a lamp and light, the Bible will warn you of dangers in this life. Just like the headlights of a car shine out down the road to warn of hazards on the road in the dark night, so the Word of God does the same thing. It guards the youth from deceitful temptations. It warns us of coming storms of problems or persecution. It keeps us from falling into sin. It keeps us sharp at attention for deceitful temptations. And so in the second place, it provides us safety. This life, to say it another way, is full of a minefield of temptations. One wrong step, we could be severely injured. The Word of God serves as a light to expose those mines in the battlefield of life so that we don't step on them, but warns us, don't step here, walk this way. So that we're kept safe from all evil. word then is given to you to protect. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible is referred to as the armor of light. The Bible in the armor of light is referred to as the sword of the Spirit, which is used to defend you from the attacks of false teaching, people who would try to lure you into ungodly living. The Bible protects you from the enemies of Christ. And then in the fourth place, the Word of God is given to you to admonish you, to call you to repentance. It says, here are the Ten Commandments. It shines its light upon our life, and we look at our life as we examine ourselves, as we should, and we see, oh, I'm not doing what's right. I need to change. It calls us to repent, to reform, to be reformed, and always reforming. To be a reformed and reforming Christian. When it does that, positively we can say the Bible is given to build us up, to warn us against sin, to call us out of sin, and then positively to build us up in God's truth, in the ways of God's truth. In the Bible you find all the answers to all of your questions in life. That is, all of the questions that have to do with doctrine and how should I live? What kind of job should I get? Who should I marry? When should I marry? All of those questions in life, those important life-changing questions, it's all answered in the Bible. Just need to study it and to listen. And to listen and to listen to what God says in His Word. There are the answers. The Bible encourages you. When life becomes extremely difficult, there are troubles on every side, surprising changes in the pathway we didn't expect, sudden difficulties, God, through His Word, will mercifully soothe and comfort your hearts. The Bible energizes you and me to do what is right, to oppose that which is evil. That's the kind of light the Bible serves as. Just as the light of the sun shines on the plants in the garden and the plants grow and grow and grow and produce fruit, light shines in the mango tree and there come the flowers and there grows the fruit. That's the kind of light by the Spirit the Bible has. It shines in you. You who are engrafted into Jesus Christ, sitting under that light of the Word of God, begin to grow and grow and produce fruit of thanksgiving to God. The Word of God also soothes our pains and problems in life. In the dark night, when you're upon your bed, and it's you and God alone, you and your problems and God, the Word of God soothes us in our sorrows and pains and disappointments in life. The Word of God prepares you for the future. It prepares the church to know what will shortly come to pass, which is the purpose of the book of Revelation and the signs of the coming of Christ. It prepares us as God's people, all of God's people, to know that our life is very short and we must walk in wisdom's ways. And the Bible, through the book of Proverbs, for example, prepares us to live that life where we don't know what tomorrow will bring, where only God does. And finally, and most importantly, the Bible serves this benefit. It serves the benefit of pointing you, shining you, having you look away from the world, and to look to Christ at God's right hand. Why do we need to see Him? Well, the answer to that question is answered first by asking this question: upon whom will you depend to get from here to heaven? from this oasis of this Lord's Day, fellowship with God, then from here to the day when we shall be around the marriage feast of the bride and the bridegroom Jesus Christ and His church in heavenly glory. What will get you from here to there? Upon whom will you depend? The Word of God, that lamp, shines with light at the answer. It points us to the answer. What is the answer? What should the answer be? Beloved, we know the answer must be Christ. Who else can we depend on for life, for salvation, for forgiveness, for hope, for gladness, for safety, for a future? Christ. And the lamp and the light of God's Word point us to set our hope and hearts in God, in Christ. And Christ alone. Because Christ is really all that we need. You don't have Christ. If I don't have Christ, you and I today have nothing. We may be really rich, lots of money, but without Christ, we would have nothing. Nothing. The lamp and the light of God's Word point us to set our hope and heart in Christ. He's your only strength to live a faithful life, to keep your feet upon the path which is straight and narrow and leads to the Father's house of many mansions, that new Jerusalem. That's what we need, the lamp and the light of God's Word. Is that your confession, beloved? It must be. You must be able to say with the church of all ages and with the psalmist, and say it not to me, but to God in heaven, Thy word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Thou with the light of Thy Word shine brightly also this day, all the days of our life. May Thy Word be for us and our children a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path for our salvation and ultimately for the glory of Thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.